Black Rob. Welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Mack, and I'm joined as always
by Very White Guy.
And you are very white indeed.
I'm feeling a little less white today. Well, it's not, my whiteness isn't on fleek. I'm on like maybe 8.
Well, it's still pretty fucking white. So
hey, it's still 8.
Luckily today we have some counterbalance to your whiteness in the form of one Black Rob. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, what's up, Drew? Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. If this is your first time joining us, you can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. Or you can go to our website, interracialjohn.com. Of course, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, at Interracial John. Again, J-A-W-N. And as I said, our guest today is one Black Rob, who tells me he is just a dude on the internet trying to get some jokes off. So, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Again, that's pretty much me in a nutshell. Kind of lay low and crack jokes and have fun while I do it, you know?
You do it well. Yes, I kind of was, I don't say I was surprised, but Leslie's like, well, he doesn't really have a podcast or a blog or a show. I'm like, really? He's in like every chat room and all the different podcasts we listen to. I kind of thought you were, I don't know, one of us.
And, you know, you have like a persona too. That's really the thing that I think you're trying to say, Drew, is that.
He's Black Rob.
Yes, he's Black Rob. So it's like, you know, if you want to follow a Black Rob, you can follow him on Twitter at BLAQQROB, just one B. So two Qs, one B. Yeah. You can check him out there. And he always has funny, funny stuff to share with all of us.
I had to use two Qs because somebody took the Black Rob with one Q. So.
It probably is a white person.
I
bet you it was.
I got to be honest. I was when I was looking at my Twitter handle, I blew it and didn't get, you know, a shorter version of like Drew something or this or that. And I wanted like white guy Drew, very white Drew, the white guy Drew. Every goddamn iteration of white and Drew was taken. Everyone. So I'm just very white guy.
Very white guy's better though, anyways.
It's a lot of characters.
Yeah. That's all right though. You're good.
It's apt.
It works though.
It works. It fits you too as well. It's very descriptive. All right, well, let's get into this madness, man.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
The news is coming on. The news is coming on.
So we had some sad news here, actually in our neck of the woods here in the Philadelphia region in Vineland, New Jersey. One Philip White, African-American man, was killed, actually beaten to death by police yesterday afternoon.
And I'm not trying to correct you, but they didn't even say that. They said non-shooting death while in custody.
Yeah. Non-gun-related
death while in custody.
Officer-involved non-gun-related death.
Right now, NBC 10 is also tracking breaking news in Cumberland County.
A man who was being held by Vineland police has died in custody. NBC 10's Jersey Shore Bureau reporter Ted Greenberg live for us in Vineland with more on this one. Ted.
Well, Jim and Jackie, authorities are releasing very few details so far about what happened here on Grape Street this morning. But witnesses tell me police got extremely physical with the suspect after he was already restrained and unconscious.
The guy was out cold.
A witness says police had Philip White handcuffed on the ground in the middle of a Vineland street just before he ended up dying in custody this morning.
They punched him, stomped him, kicked him, and then they let the dog out of the car, and the dog bit him in his face and around his body.
A dog is heard on a police dispatch recording of the incident, which unfolded around 11 a.m.
118 West Grape, subject to hyperventilating. Officers out.
There's no call for that. Once a man is handcuffed and unconscious, should have stuck him in the patrol car, take him to the police station. Nah, instead, they decide to beat him right here.
I want to stop here just for one second because that witness is his implications that they were going to beat him anyway, but they had to beat him there. Like,
right.
It wasn't right.
And if you're going to beat him in private. Come on.
That's literally, he's like, man, they had to do it here.
He also knows, he said that they didn't have to handcuff him. He's forgetting that they handcuffed people they've shot multiple times.
True.
You know,
true.
Dead people they handcuff.
Very true. All right, let's hear what else.
A prosecutor tells NBC 10 the suspect was being arrested at the time, but we don't yet know why. However, the audio recording appears to shed more light on what happened as White was being taken into custody.
All units down. Subject under. Can't apprehension. Try disarming me.
How can a...
Try disarming
Fuck that
me.
Shit. Let
it sure, go. Buddy.
Drew, listen, that's on handcuffs.
Drew, you're playing something.
Oh, what that is right there, he's already laying the groundwork for when he fills out his reports. He
Hold
say,
on a second, Rob. Where's that playing from,
it's
Leslie?
It's coming from you. It's the end of the ZZ thing.
Oh, that thing still got her fucking playing? Oh, for shit's sake. Sorry about that.
Are we leaving that in the show?
Sure, go for it. That's my great niece Charlize speaking,
singing "Let It Go." I was like, "That sounds like ZZ."
I assumed it was one of these autoplay CNN fucking ads, but no,
it's not.
My grandniece.
And you're right, Rob. He's laying the groundwork. Like, how many? I just want to know. Like, y'all are killing us for nothing. Why do they seem to think we're going to believe that every black person goes for the gun? I mean, it just.
Right. Be creative at this point. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going it's like the old, oh, he went for my gun story. It's always the same story. And it's like, we're not going to believe you, especially when, according to what the witnesses are saying, it's something completely contradictory, you know?
It's crazy.
Absolutely. It's totally nuts. All right, I guess we'll finish up though.
Take a gun from a police officer. Why? What he was doing, I don't know. I'm trying to get answers and closures now.
Valerie White is the suspect's aunt.
He lived a street life, but he was a human being. Bottom line.
Again, authorities are not yet providing any information about...
If that ain't the truth, what his aunt said. He lived a street life, but he was a human being. Bottom line. So they did have a very little additional information they released this morning, which was, I mean, literally almost nothing. They said the ordeal began at 10:58 a.m. Tuesday morning. So this was before noon that they did this. They responded to a call for service for a disorderly person. And when they arrived on the scene, they found 32-year-old Philip White, quote, shortly thereafter, officers called for medical assistance in response to White appearing to be in respiratory distress. A spokesperson for the Cumberland County Prosecutor's Office said, during the incident, White was handcuffed and restrained.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't believe anything anymore. My bullshit meter, in particular, like, I feel like the phrase, went for my gun, tried to disarm me.
But just they're even saying it. The prosecutor's office says events that transpired between the time of the officer's arrival and White's transport to the hospital are under investigation. Like, what the fuck?
That's noncommittal. You know, and the problem with, and I'm saying the problem, the reason they do that is because they don't want to have anything on record for a civil lawsuit. They write this fucking, like, word salad, it's like from a, not even like a fourth perspective. It's some weird fucking, like, nobody writes any reports or any documentation or any author writes in the language that these police reports are written. Like, you shoot somebody and it's like this vague, a bullet discharged from a weapon and may have struck an individual. Like, what the fuck? Who writes shit like that? They do it so they can't have anything on record to get sued. And this whole reach of the gun, I was saying live, was it Floyd Dent? Right? They had three or four different things the police said. Each and every one of them was a lie or was unsubstantiated. He tried to bite us. Well, there's no bite marks. He didn't take any photos of it. He fucking said, I'll kill you. Oh, all of my mics were broken or turned off. He had crack in his car. Or there's an image of me pulling a baggie out of my fucking pocket. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Right. And the bottom line is people shouldn't be dying after interactions with the police. You know what I mean? Unless... it's a clear-cut situation where the officer's life is in danger or someone else's life is in danger. An interaction with the police shouldn't result in death. You know what I mean? Like, that's not that complex of an idea, I don't think. So, and then the lack of transparency after the fact of, oh, we're looking into it. You know, like you said, Drew, all the BS is just kind of like, come on, man. Like, I was born at night, but not last night. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, and this whole, and I'm not saying, like, I don't know what you can do to change the culture of guns here, but, like, look at cops in the UK. They don't carry guns, and they don't kill fucking 900 citizens a year either, you know? Like, and they're not under some sort of attack. Cops in the UK aren't, fuck, cops here aren't even that fucking under attack. It's not even in the top like 12 or 15 most deadliest professions you can have as a as an individual in this country.
It's the truth that being a truck driver is more detrimental to your health and potential well-being. I mean, I just don't even know. Philip White is the 290th person to be killed by law enforcement this year.
Q1. Way to go.
Jeez.
290th. They got him right under the wire the end of the month. I don't even know at what point. I don't know how white America is just like this asleep and willfully ignorant, because I call it willful ignorance, because it's beyond the point where they can say they don't know anymore. It's just
they've chosen not to know. They've chosen not to want to know.
You don't get that anymore. So it's just crazy.
Let me ask you that, Rob. I have this debate with Leslie, and I've pivoted my own opinion over time. I started with this sort of, you know, I don't know what percentage, like, of all white people, they come under a, you know, a range of types from whatever to whatever. And on one end of the spectrum is like, you know, overt, like KKK racist. And on the other end of the spectrum is like white abolitionists, people that are like awake and they're deconstructing supremacy and institutions. And there's stages in between. And somewhere in there is, you know, I always hypothesized is a uninformed, meaning ignorant in the truest sense of the word. I just don't know about all this stuff that's going on. And I used to really think that that was, you know, some tangible portion of white folk. And Leslie was always like, you're fucking crazy. That's not any white
people. Yeah, he would ask me, he's like, what percentage is ignorant? And I would be like, 1%.
None percent. So what's your take, Black Rob?
I don't know exactly where I'd put it in terms of, you know, numerical percentages, but I think there definitely is a portion of the population who is just, they exist in their own little bubble, their own little world, right? Where, you know, and not even on some, you know, well, I'm not, you know, hanging people from a tree, so therefore I'm not racist, but fuck those black people over there. Not like that, right? They're, I forgot, I can cuss, right?
Fuck yeah!
Oh, I just making sure. I listened to you guys. I just was, you know that thing where you do it, it's like, dang.
Fuck, did I just say fuck? Can I say fuck? Fuck, I said fuck.
Right, no, because I do a lot of conference calls for work, and I always have to catch myself to make sure I don't say fuck on conference calls, because a lot of times I want to be like, you fucking motherfuckers, right? But
let it fly.
So, but no, what I was saying, though, in terms of, you know, a lot of white people who just, like, they just exist in their bubble, and I think that's a human nature thing. People just kind of exist in their own little bubble, and if it doesn't affect them, then they don't give a shit about it, right? You know, I think, though, there are a lot of people who they do obtain knowledge, like they learn about an issue and then they choose to ignore it, right? And I would say it's more of that. Like, for example, you know, a lot of the Black Lives Matter and, you know, the various protests that have been popping up over the last year, that's in the news right now. You can't miss that. You can't avoid that.
Under a rock?
There's a lot of people who are seeing that, you know, a lot of white people who are seeing that, and they go, what the fuck is this shit? Why is this shit? You know, they don't want to learn about it. They're like, it's an annoyance to them.
Yeah, it makes them uncomfortable. I hear you.
Right, exactly. Because then they actually have to acknowledge the fact that, holy shit is fucked up. Maybe I do have an inherent advantage, you know, at this whole, you know, life thing by being a white person, rather than saying, because the default that a lot of white people go to is just pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
You know, why can't you work hard?
You can do all this bullshit, right? Rather than having to say, you know what, I have an advantage. You know, a lot of people don't want to say that.
I agree entirely and wholeheartedly. And where I've pivoted, and maybe it's just a little bit, I'm becoming, I don't know, bitter, crass, whatever, or maybe pragmatic and realistic.
Plan is working.
you're turning me against everybody. White genocide.
You will hate the white man.
You're so anti-white. You turned me against my own people. So but it's not even you, Leslie. This realization has been interacting with white people on Twitter and in our church and in other spaces. This realization, in fact, you vociferously were like, nope, this is why I think this, months and months and months before I came to this conclusion. So it had nothing to do with you. But the conclusion I've kind of come to is that what you've described, Rob, this sort of insular, in their own little bubble, this or that, that's a choice. That is a choice, you know, like, and I'll use me, an I statement. I chose to ignore the issue. I chose to be more comfortable and apathetic. You know, I chose to, in my own real life, matriculate relationships with more white people than black people. I chose my own social media footprint, you know, not Twitter. But I think Twitter, I did a poll at one point, it was 50-50, but Facebook for a long time, the number of white people, you know, was like most people, 99%, 98%, even though, you know, the only black people that were on my Twitter were friends of mine through Leslie or through my family, but it still far outweighed the number of white people that I had connections with. So, and I'm not saying that that was a active conscious choice, but it was still a choice. You know, I chose not to do those other things. I chose not to step out of my comfort. I chose not to be more awake and aware. And, you know, part of my, whether you call it white guilt or, you know, I think many people that go through this progression, there's a sense of like, man, there's blood on my hands. I'm not saying I could have stopped supremacy. No, but I certainly could have been a lot active a lot sooner. Why? And I know a lot of white people go through that. And I feel like for quote unquote, I don't say allies because I hate that word, but people that are truly in the movement, if they don't have a phase like that, I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Right. And but to me, like, I take a different, and you are right. You always say, like, I'm so radicalized and I'm so, you know, whatever, militant or whatever, but it's really not that for me, you know. Ignorance in a court of law is not acceptable.
No. I didn't know that gun was loaded. Well, you right. fucking shot him.
You don't get to use ignorance of the law as a defense in a court of law. So to me, I don't buy the idea of ignorance. I don't buy the idea of ignorance for a lot of reasons. I don't buy the idea of ignorance from a populace that sees value in suing school districts for their children to get on teams, but then claims ignorance when they allowed school funds to be determined by income and property value. You know, you don't get to say both of those two things. You don't get to say, I see where my kid deserves X, Y, Z, but I don't see how everything that I'm doing is making somebody else's child not get anything. Hmm. It just doesn't hold up for me. It's bullshit. And white people have been using this excuse of ignorance for just far too long. Like, either you're an idiot or you're a racist. There's no in between for me. Because if you're an idiot, then I don't know what to say for you. Because you cannot come into this world and not understand that obviously race plays a huge role in the fate of the people that live in this country. And quite frankly, in the entire world. And the other side of that is you're racist, because if you don't believe that it is because of systemic racism and the inherent indignities that people of color have to face, then you inherently think that we're more prone to violence, we are more criminal, we are stupid, we don't deserve anything.
You're right, that's the only
option.
There's no
middle ground there.
You can't look at the disparate outcomes and conclude one or the other. Either it's a racist, oppressive system, or black people are inherently inferior, prone to criminality, violent, you know, arrestable, whatever you want to conclude. Because the outcome's the outcome. You can't debate those facts.
Right. And we're talking here about obviously the most egregious piece that comes into play, which is someone's life was lost due to these bullshit ass issues.
Right.
But let's take it in a, you know, almost trivial direction and talk about Trevor Noah, who has recently been named to replace Jon Stewart as the new host of The Daily Show. He's a South African comedian.
A biracial
South African comedian. And he was named a couple of days ago. I think Monday they named him, and everybody was like, oh, who is this guy? He's so awesome. Oh my gosh, he's cute. Oh, look, let's see. Oh my gosh, we're going to have two black people on. And then, of course, after that, his Twitter, I guess, was scoured. And from, what is it? How many years ago was
like
this? 2011?
It was 2011.
2009? One of them, 2009? 2011? They went back, and now, you know, people are all upset about these jokes that he told. I'm not going to read the jokes because I do find them to be in bad taste. But what I'm more interested in is this, like, dare I say, you know, complete reversal and just like need to feel like he needs to be taken down a peg, and how dare he do X, Y, and Z. What are your thoughts on kind of the swing that happened, and then just generally about the situation, Rob?
I've always hated the mentality of, oh, I don't agree with this person's jokes or comments or whatever, therefore they need to lose their job or something like that. You know what I mean? Or I don't agree with this show, therefore the show needs to come off the air. Like when I first heard about all this with Trevor Noah, my whole thought was, if you don't like his jokes and you don't like him, just don't watch the fucking Daily Show, right? Like it's not that hard. Don't support the show. Like the idea that, and you know, his jokes were, you know, offensive and, you know, like you say, in bad taste, but where I don't necessarily take offense to them is, you know, he's a comedian, right? That's what he does. I take more offense when it's like policymakers who make comments like that or have tweets like that, right? Like if you're in a position to affect policy, you know, to affect, you know, the lives of other people with those type of, you know, ideas and thoughts and mentalities, then that's where I would take issue with it.
Right. Context matters.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, this dude, you know, he tells jokes for a living. He's going to be hosting a TV show. Like, in the grand scheme of things, even if he, whether he was just joking and it was in poor taste, or if he actually believes the, you know, the shit he was saying, then either way, it doesn't matter because his grand impact is not that extreme. It's not that big, right? He hosts a TV show. So the whole, you know, I don't like this, therefore it must come off the air. Or I don't like his comments, therefore he must lose his job. It's just, I've always just been like, you know, whatever. Like, that's silly to me.
And not only is it silly, it's many ways hypocritical and arbitrary. Like, Lena Dunham, yes, just not even like a week ago, had the entire New Yorker article comparing her Jewish boyfriend and a dog. And I found that, like, really offensive and anti-Semitic and in poor taste. And right away, the New Yorker's like, well, she's a comedian. It's a rich history of, you know, Lenny Bruce and Jewish comedians. And, you know, she's Jewish and he's Jewish. Okay. And it just, the pass she was given for that, and not all, the Anti-Defamation League is, you know, up in arms about it. But, you know, no one's talking about ending her fucking HBO show.
Nope.
No one's talking about, you know, burning her books fucking from this to that. And you're talking about, like, what you said, Black Rob, like, comedian versus this or that. And that's what I mean by it's arbitrary. Mike Pence, the governor in Indiana, getting all kinds of flack for signing a ridiculously, you know, bigotist bill. His own goddamn campaign website from the Web Archive from 2000, right? So, okay, it's longer ago, but this isn't just a joke. This is what this man's platform has been running on. It literally included, like, I got to read this. Congress should oppose any effort to put gay and lesbian relationships on equal legal status with heterosexual marriage. Congress should oppose any effort to recognize homosexuals as a discrete and insular minority entitled to the protection of anti-discrimination laws similar to those extended to women and ethnic minorities. So he's in his own fucking campaign website talking about all that, you know, like openly and brazenly. And now he's like, oh, you know, this law didn't mean that. I didn't mean it like this. You know, he's given a complete pass. He's a goddamn governor. He's governor of Indiana. Why are we so up in arms about Trevor Noah? You know, like we're tisking and waving our fingers at a fucking guy. First of all, a biracial comedian born in apartheid in South Africa. And we're going to wag our fingers at him? Come on.
It's crazy.
Right. Come on.
Like, yeah. Of all the battles to pick, that's the one, you know, that we pick. Yeah. And like you know, like I say, it's like you're saying, it's arbitrary. It's, you know, more than arbitrary. It's an easy battle because a lot of times networks will fold, right? You know, it would be real easy for Viacom, I believe, if Viacom owns, you know, Comedy Central.
Yeah, I believe you're
to
right.
Just go, hey, you know, how easy would it be for them to just go, you know what, this isn't worth the trouble, we'll find a different guy, right? And then, you know, the people who are, you know, who 5 years back into his tweets or whatever can go, see, victory, look what we did, we got him out of there, right? You know, so it's an easy battle to pick versus, you know, getting a governor up out of there.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot tougher battle, so.
And I'll just a little, not like I'm, you know, saying they have any blame in this at all, but I'm a little surprised they didn't wipe shit like that out. Like, you think when you make a big announcement like that, especially nowadays, there's programs that, like, you know, go through your entire public persona and nuke it or destruct whatever.
Absolutely.
Right. Darren Wilson got to fucking wipe his shit out.
He's doing a speaking tour, getting paid to talk to people about how he killed somebody.
Yeah, because he wiped his social media. If they had seen all the N-words he'd fucking been putting all over the place and all the shit I'm undoubtedly certain he had, wouldn't be the same.
Well, let's talk about something that didn't happen during social media age and can't be swept away from anywhere. One rock and roll god, Eric Clapton.
You know, you said something about this. I'm real curious.
Yeah, well, you know, Eric Clapton is an unapologetic follower, first-class douchebag, Enoch Powell, a member of the British Conservative Party, and full-blown racist. His 1968 Rivers of Blood speech was basically foretold of an England in tatters if non-white immigration was allowed to run rampant, with ridiculously controversial and which was ridiculously controversial and seriously damaged his political career. But Clapton stood behind him. Yeah.
This is 1968?
No, this is in 1976, excuse me.
Okay.
And so this is from Eric himself. He said these words on stage. Do we have any foreigners in the audience tonight? I'm not going to do an accent, actually. If so...
You can't do the whole speech.
Yeah, I can't do the whole speech. English accent. That's right. If so, please put your hands up. Wogs, I mean, I'm looking at you. Where are you? I'm sorry, but some fucking wog, Arab, grabbed my wife's bum, you know? Surely got to be said. Yeah, this is what all the fucking foreigners and wogs are over here. Just disgusting. Let's just tell the truth, yeah? So where are you? Well, wherever you all are, I think you should all leave. Not just leave the hall. Leave our country, you fucking... They couldn't say what he said. I don't want you here in my room or in my country. Listen to me, man. I think we should vote for Enoch Powell. Enoch's our man. I think Enoch's right. I think we should send them all back. Stop Britain from becoming a black colony. Get the foreigners out. Get the wogs out. Get the coons out. Keep Britain white. I used to be into dope. Now I'm into racism. It's much heavier, man. Fucking wogs, man. Fucking Saudis taking over London. Bastard wogs. Britain is becoming overcrowded, and Enoch will stop it and send them all black. Send the black wogs and coons and Arabs and fucking Jamaicans and fucking bleep don't belong here. We don't want them here. This is England. This is a white country. We don't want any black wogs and coons living here. We need to make clear to them they are not welcome. England is for white people, man. We are a white country. I don't want fucking wogs living next to me with their standards. This is Great Britain, a white country. What is happening for us? For fuck's sake. We need to vote for Enoch Powell. He's a great man. Speaking truth. Vote for Enoch. He's our man. He's on our side. He'll look after us. I want all of you out there to vote for Enoch. Support him. He's on our side. Enoch for Prime Minister. Throw out the wogs. Keep Britain white. End quote.
Just let this play for a second. Unbelievable. I should have got that going sooner.
Nah, just stop there.
You know which song this is? Where you start screaming about all the... Anyway, that's the Pink Floyd song. He's like, you over there.
Yeah.
There's listen. A man smoking a joint. There's a wog who grabbed my woman's ass.
He's really, really lucky Twitter and Facebook didn't exist when...
But I mean, it's right here. It's not secret. Just search Eric Clapton racist. Anybody could find this out. Fucking it's not a secret.
Slow hands
from a man, from a man who's made his living... riffing and doing black people's blues music, and his biggest hit was written by a Jamaican Bob Marley. Man, fuck that guy. But my point here is that this is so it's so obvious that race is at play here with the situation with Trevor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And this is just an example of how white people are allowed to transcend their bullshit. I'm not even saying, maybe Eric has completely changed his mind. I have no idea. But the point is he isn't held accountable for something so heinous. He's just supporting a full-on racist and spewing his same racist dogma on stage in public. But Trevor can't get a couple tweets off from 5 years ago? Come on.
Who was the guy on that, was it HBO or Showtime that had that project with the movies and they had the two winners and it turned out the one guy was a YouTube, you know, he had like a YouTube channel and some of his YouTube bits and comedy were like blackface and really inappropriate. He didn't get kicked off. He didn't lose his project
Green
Light.
No, in fact, he accused Francesca Lee of attacking him.
Yeah, for pointing that shit out.
Yeah.
So he was able to, and that was much worse. That was him in blackface and shit.
He was doing like full Madea impressions.
We talked about it on the last episode. The mayor of, what town is it? Had the fucking character, something cotton, right? The fuck? He was dressing up in blackface for like 10 years. A fucking mayor.
Hey, he's a hairdresser, okay? He can do that. He got a couple black friends.
Speaking of Eric Clapton, what is this fucking music bullshit called Tidal? Someone explain this horseshit to me,
really,
please.
Let's listen to the video that they have put out. Let's just get a couple of just a minute or two of it.
It's basically Spotify.
Why?
Exactly.
I just don't understand it at all.
I couldn't even hear anything. It was just music.
Yeah. It's just weird to me. The whole thing is weird to me. Because
it's the idea behind it, from my understanding, is, you know, as it stands right now, artists don't get paid nearly what they should off of
Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify.
But not these artists. All artists?
Yeah.
These artists?
But that's not a an artist issue or a Spotify issue. It's really, you know, the record labels, right?
Right.
You know, what are you negotiating in terms of, or whoever owns the rights to the songs, what are you negotiating in terms of how much, you know, goes to the artist based on, you know, your subscriptions? Like, I pay $10 a month for Spotify, right? Like, how much of that goes towards artists? How much of that goes towards Spotify? Right. I don't know how it all gets broken down, but the theory behind Tidal is it's, you know, it's basically like FUBU but music, like for
FUBU music. You like, know, though, there's a decent comparison with Netflix, because when Netflix first came out and they were streaming, and studios and people were like, well, you know, is streaming really a thing? How many people are streaming? Are we making any money off the streams? Not really. So let's give Netflix, I don't know, all our old I Love Lucy. What the fuck? It's no big deal. We're not making any money off it anyway. And all of a sudden, Netflix is making a lot of money. They're publicly traded. They go IPO. They're worth billions of dollars. And those same studios are like, well, wait a minute. We, you know, your model, now a lot of people are streaming. Your streaming is now eating into my DVD sales and I'm losing money. What was a good deal, I got to renegotiate that. I'm not going to go make a new fucking Netflix. But some did, right? Remember when Hulu, ABC, NBC, a few of those companies did the exact same thing. Like, you know what? We don't want Netflix running this content. We want to own the distribution pipeline. So I can't really, like, fault it. But to come on stage with fucking Jay and Kanye and Def, the wealthiest musicians in the last fucking whatever years, were like, this is for artists.
I just think it's weird for a couple of reasons. One is, I mean, to me, the equation of Spotify is today's radio, right? Even though some people pay for it. Like Robbie said, you have a subscription. And when we were listening to just regular radio, we paid, you know, in the form of listening to bullshit ads and things like that. And there were, you know, you had to buy a radio or whatever. But in terms of your interaction with music, that's a much better comparison. Like, I don't compare Spotify to, like, going to the record store. I don't think that's a good comparison. Maybe the Apple store might have that leg, because I might buy content through that venue. So it's just weird to me that they would see it as, I mean, how much were they getting paid for when their song went on the radio?
Well, I mean, the radio drives album sales. Album sales are down. Everyone sees that. They have to be able to make money through their content other ways.
But I don't even buy that at all either. I read today, and this isn't...
You don't buy that album sales are down. They're way down.
It says that, how many years ago was it? I had to look for the number, but, oh, here it is. By all rights, $10 a month or even $20 a month for access to virtually every song creatable is an unbelievably great deal. And yet, when the average consumer is willing to spend at most $48 annually on music, it said that music industry's peak in 1999, the average music consumer only spent $28 a year, average. Last year, Apple found that the average iTunes user spends $48 a year on music.
Let me ask you this. Let's just use you and I. What has our average consumption on music gone over the years? Down, 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 down. We spend nothing on iTunes anymore. We don't buy music at all.
I buy albums when I want them.
Yeah, but rarely.
Well, yeah, I mean, speaking for me personally, I hardly ever. I can't remember the last album I bought.
But exactly. I feel like younger people still buy music. I just
The Billboard charts would dictate otherwise.
Well, anyways, I guess, yeah, because they go off like spins now or downloads or whatever. I mean, they have charts for that too, right?
Yeah, you know, and somebody on my timeline, Geek and Stereo, Leon, had sent me a link. He's like, oh, I'm listening to this. And it was title.
It's Larry.
Larry, not Leon, sorry. A title link. And I clicked on it, and it was like, install the app, do this, do that. I'm like, no thanks. You couldn't even like make that like Twitter easy.
What was it?
It was a link to a song. I forget the song, but I just didn't play it because it wanted me to download the app and install it. And
well, I think the biggest problem, too, if you're going to make this pitch that it's, you know, for the artists and it's going to, you know, revolutionize and it's going to take the music back and all this bullshit. Like, wouldn't it have been better to have featured independent artists that nobody knows?
Exactly.
Like, just public relations wise, wouldn't you as a consumer, Rob, have been a little more swayed by a bunch of, you know, singer songwriters or people, you know, rappers or whoever being like, you know, it's really hard to get our foot in and we can't make any money through these revenue streams. And this one will allow us to participate monetarily in this versus Madonna hugging Beyonce, talking about how we need to give them $20 a month.
Yeah, thank God.
Oh, for sure. When I saw the commercial for Tidal, the first thing I thought of, I don't know if you guys remember when Jay-Z was doing that album through Samsung where it was
Right.
You remember the commercials for it where he had all those producers in the room?
Yeah.
He was talking about, oh, it's going to be, you know, groundbreaking. It's going to be, you know, it's all saying all this bullshit about how, you know, revolutionary the album was going to be and all this stuff. And I enjoyed that album, but I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular. You know, it was just, so basically all it was just a whole lot of promotion. It was him sort of, you know, talking up something that was, it was just an album, right? Mm. And I feel like it's the same way with Tidal. It's, you know, you got all these big time names in the room and it's going to be groundbreaking. It's going to be revolutionary. It's going to change the world. It's just going to be Spotify for $10 a month. You know what I mean?
Right.
and they have to say that shit.
To be fair, like, depending on, you know, what content they have and how much of it goes to artists, you know, versus, you know, if artists are getting a bigger share per spins, then, you know, it might be something that I subscribe to eventually. But as of right now, I don't see any reason to give my money to Tidal, you know, and that's the bottom line. I'm very particular of who gets my money, and Tidal, they're not on the list right now.
And can we just, and we should keep it moving, but I'm just going to say, you know, Jay and a bunch of other artists up there, we don't hear anything about Black Lives Matter, but as soon as they got some shit to sell, that machine goes into overdrive.
Yeah, when you have Beyonce saying, I think that our fans are going to know because this is coming directly from us. They're going to really, you know, take to this. And it's interesting they had her say that. She probably has, I would say, the most fervent fan base. You know, they take their...
Oh, Queen Bee said this?
Yes, their bee worship to the nth level. And so they have her making this comment. And the whole thing was just weird. They had this whole press conference and they were like introducing themselves one by one. And then Alicia Keys got up. I'm just going to read a little bit from Michael Segalov's piece in The Independent. He says, Alicia Keys then took to the podium. What followed was 4 minutes of pretentious drivel and a tedious set piece where the artists stepped forward one by one to scribble their names on a piece of paper. The audience was silent, presumably because they'd all dozed off. And then he says, and this is Grace, says, I found the whole affair much less enjoyable. Looking past the awkward launch event and the fact that Chris Martin from Coldplay was invited, what has Tidal actually achieved? Its selling points are twofold. It's artist-owned and higher quality. If they can produce a system that is of higher quality to other streaming services, then great. Congratulations, team. Let's see how it does, but spare me the bullshit. That's the part that I'm like, well, y'all could have just said that, hey, look, we have this thing. It's better than XYZ. You having to put forward the... all of these stars, like, it doesn't give me a lot of confidence in your technology. That's what you should be leading with if that's what you're going to be differentiators going to be. Because I doubt all of these artists, none of them are going to be on Spotify anymore now. Is Beyonce on Spotify today?
Yes, she is.
Of course she fucking is.
All that they said was,
yes, baby, baby, blah, 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 blah. Thank you.
Now pay me more.
Absolutely. That is basically pretty much what they said.
So tell me, you heard about this fight over salsa. Did you hear about this, Black Rob?
Salsa the dance or the food?
Salsa the food. Phyllis Jefferson stabbed her boyfriend in the groin for eating all her salsa.
See, when we heard about this, Drew turns to me and goes, well, was it mild or picante?
Right.
That's the question.
Like, you want more information because
makes a difference.
The quality pineapple of the salsa. Like, I mean, did she make it fresh? Did she dice all the tomatoes herself?
Exactly. Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, you know, she spent a lot of time and she fresh squeezed lime into it, you know, chopped cilantro. Like, she went through all this trouble to make the salsa. She come home and do the ale all of her salsa.
What? I mean, you know. It was just a pen.
Well, no, she stabbed him in the groin with a pen, and then she cut him in the stomach with a knife.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I would have reacted the same way. I'm just saying, but you know, if it was my salsa, I understand.
You know, she was like, you don't even got a motherfucking job. You in here eating my salsa. You know.
It's always like an underlying issue, right?
You know.
It wasn't just the salsa. The salsa was like the last straw.
Well, yeah. She did get arrested, and she did say that she did it because she wanted to leave. So there was something. The salsa was the proverbial last straw.
You know, he drank her last beer. I mean, he was just doing all sorts of unnecessary ass shit.
At what point do you have to be in your mind, like, willing to go when it's like, and you ate the salsa? Oh, for fuck's sake. And, stabbed you with a groin pen.
But I knew instantly this was a black woman, too, because she stabbed him twice, like, right in front of his face and then, like, stayed exactly where she had done the stabbing. Like, she didn't care. She was like...
No, she fled the scene.
No, he fled the scene.
No, she fled the scene. She did.
Oh, she left?
Yeah, he got...
Oh,
he
you're
got,
right, he got, when he called.
He got penned in the groin, cut in the stomach, and she fled the scene.
Right.
Because of salsa.
Yes. And then she was gonna knock. She was gonna knock the TV over on the floor too. That's how I know he ain't shit, because he was staying home watching probably porn all goddamn day,
eating her fucking salsa.
Eating the salsa.
You know nothing.
She's working 50 hours a week supporting him. No, baby, I swear I'm gonna look for a job today. I swear today's the day, baby. I got a lead on like 3 different jobs. Have a good day at work, baby. She come home. He's sitting there, got the Xbox on, the salsa on the coffee table, just salsa all over his face. You can tell he ain't left the couch all day.
All day, salsa.
What kind of porn goes with salsa, Leslie?
I don't know.
Latina.
Of course. What was I thinking?
I was going to say scatological, but, you know.
Ew.
I'm just saying.
I don't think they make that kind of porn. I hope they
don't. I don't know. Like, that's not. I don't know anything about that.
I'm not looking.
No, I don't know about that. So, Rob, we wanted to hear a little bit about you, where you from, where you, you know, what tell us some more about Black Rob.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, I'm pretty boring. I think I'm pretty boring. I'm born and raised in San Diego, California. I still live here now. It's expensive to live out here, man, but, you know, I got all my family out here, and I have a baby mama out here, so, you know, it makes it tough to move on. I've had some other opportunities where I could have left San Diego, but I don't want to leave my son. You know, I don't want to be that dad that's on the opposite coast, you know, with a son on the West Coast.
And how old is he?
He's 7.
Oh.
Go ahead and piss me off. What's the weather like right now?
Oh, right now it is 80 degrees.
Man.
I have my window open. I just have fresh air coming through. Don't need to run the air conditioner.
We got to stop having California people on this show.
I can hate you.
I'm going to put a moratorium. At least not until it gets fucking warmer here.
Although you can't even drink water out there, though, yo.
Hey, fuck that drought. I take like 20-minute showers. I drink up all the water. I don't care.
He's rolling in it, y'all.
San Diego water police are listening, dude.
Yeah, I know, right? They're going to come knocking on my door.
I'll be there.
We heard you be showering, motherfucker.
We heard you be showering. We put a stopwatch in there. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
A story about me. 33-year-old black man killed.
That's not funny.
That's not funny, Black Rob.
No, they wouldn't kill you. All the neighbors would just sanction you.
Yes. Like,
they'd pick it. They'd be out front. Black Rob takes 20-minute showers. Oh, my God.
Don't even get me started on that. My homeowners association is, there's always some shit. They've been doing this weird thing where they do every other month, like a plumbing inspection, where you have to be home between a certain time. Like, you need to be home between, you know, 10 and 12 o'clock for plumbing inspection. Basically, they're looking for any of the condos here that have leaks or drought or
mold,
damaged faucets or shit. And so it's like, I have to like take off work to be home for a stupid plumbing inspection. It's like, it's getting tiring. I hate my homeowners association.
Homeowners associations scare me. Everybody that I know that's involved with them are just like, it's the worst. But it seems like in California, it's the norm unless you have like a lot of property.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a lot of divisions.
I live in a condo, so it's small. But, like, my mom's house is in an older neighborhood where there is no homeowners association, right? But any of these newer developments out here, they all have homeowners. Like, my dad's house, he has a homeowners association. And it's like, it's stupid shit. It's like, your yard was 3/4 of an inch too long. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then, and they'll complain about that. So you got to go trim your grass and shit. But then when you need something, if you say, hey, you know, we have this issue on the street or something like that, they're not responsive to it.
Committee's got to meet 6 months from now.
Right. Yeah. It's like, hey, we got a pothole. And it's like, well, we'll get right on that. And then,
The numbers that you have on the side of your house for your address are 18th of an inch too large, and they're the wrong color of blue. Like, what?
Right. Exactly. It's that type of shit.
We lived in apartments. We rented forever up until the home we're in now for the last 4 years.
We really pretty much refused to settle down. We were never, we might not like it here that much.
Yeah, but the point I was getting at, though, Leslie, now that we do own a home, I'm like the king of, like, fuck you. You ain't coming in this bitch.
I didn't let the
city was doing they're going over for what is it called? The reassessment of the pricing and
shit. Taxes.
Yeah. And they sent me a letter and the letter's like, you know, they're going to do this. They're going to do that. FAQs. Will my taxes go up? Probably. that was their letter they sent to me. Like, probably. And they did. They went up. But so they came around. They knocked on the door like 6-7 different times. And one or two of them, like, answered. I'm like, nope, I don't own the house. You can't come in. No. And they even, like, put some threatening, like, if we don't come in the house, we're going to do this. I'm like, okay, do it. Because you ain't coming in.
You're not coming in.
I slammed the door and fucking Jehovah's. Not slam, but I opened the door and they're like, oh, I'm talking about Jesus. No, thank you. Just like, no, I own this bitch. Fuck you.
You're not coming in. Nobody's coming in.
But it's because of what you're talking about for 30, 8-9 years of my life. I was.
You were at their.
Yeah, remember the place we lived in where they had to do this shit for like fire alarms and like what Rob's talking about? Like, you need to be home between 4 and 8 o'clock on this day.
That used to be so irritating. The only one that was good was when we lived in Chicago. It was in this like fancy high rise and we had like 600 square feet in this thing. So we were just, it was like, we weren't even married yet. We weren't married yet when we lived there.
No.
And we paid an astronomical amount, but we had 2 salaries in this tiny little apartment, but they would just like let themselves in all the time.
Jeez.
They would put a note. It would be like, tomorrow, so-and-so is going to be coming in from this time to this time.
Yeah, whatever. It was 890 square feet, and the rent is more than our mortgage.
It was more than our mortgage, and that was 20 years ago.
That was almost 20 years ago. It's not more than our payment with taxes, but it's more than the mortgage portion.
Yeah, it's crazy how much we were paying. But it was a nice apartment. It was a good way to get things started. It was very nice downtown.
That's cool.
So do you have any brothers and sisters?
I do. It's kind of weird. Okay, so with my mom and my dad, I'm the oldest. I have a brother who's 3 years younger than me, right? And then they divorced. And then so my mom remarried and my dad remarried. So I have a stepbrother who's 6 months older than me.
Wow.
And then when my dad remarried, he had 2 more kids. So I'm 33. I have a younger brother who's 21 and a little sister who's 15. So,
wow.
And are you the only child of your mother and father's original?
No, he has a younger brother who's 3 years old.
Yeah, a younger brother. So with my mother and father, with their relationship, I have a younger brother. He's 3 years younger than me.
And they all live in the San Diego area?
So you have a full brother, an older stepbrother, and then 2 younger half-brothers.
Half siblings.
Okay. Well, that's like me and my sisters. My sisters are 11, 12, and 13 years older than me. So I totally get that like spatial difference between siblings, which is fun. But my sisters were like, God, this girl.
Mm.
it was cool and weird because it's like, when I was like, so 10 years ago, I'm in my 20s, I was doing okay financially where I could take a week and go do fun shit, right? Like, hey, let's go to Disneyland. Let's go do this. And so it would give my dad and my stepmom a break.
Right.
And I got to be the cool older brother taking them to do stuff. You know what I mean? But it's weird now because, I'm older and they're older. So, now my conversations with them are much more like, hey, man, don't be out here fucking up. Like, my brother just turned 20. Yeah, I hear myself and I sound like my dad. God, did I just say that? My brother is in the Marine Corps, and he just turned 21, my youngest brother. He just turned 21. He's on his own in North Carolina in the Marine Corps. I'm like, look, man, I know you're going to do what 21-year-olds do, just be smart. I'm giving him all the whole talk. He's like, I know. He's like, geez, I'm like, Dad. I was like, fuck. Sorry. But I got to tell you this, because I'm your big brother, right?
No, but that's what happens.
My sister is, go ahead.
I said, yeah, no, that's definitely what happens.
Yeah, it's weird. My sister's 15, so she's at that age with, you know, boys, and she wants to start driving and, like, all this stuff. And I'm just telling her, I'm like, look, guys aren't shit. Everything a guy tells you is a fucking lie. Anything he tells you or anything he does trying to be nice, he's just trying to get in your pants. Don't believe it. My stepmom and my dad are like, Robert, I'm like, look, I'm trying to help. This is the only way I know how to help.
I'm doing my part. That's my job in here. No, you end up being almost, there's like a, almost like an aunt or uncle transition once they get older, I feel. Because the stuff you're talking about is exactly how I am with my nieces and nephews. And we have, 12 nieces and nephews all together between Drew and I. So they run the gamut. My oldest nephew is only 7 years younger than me because my sisters are so much older than me. So, and he and I, like, we are very close. And then my younger nieces and nephews, I'm much more like my niece here. I'm like, yeah, you know, don't do this, don't do that. No, nobody touches you unless you want them to. Your body is your own. Like, I'm like, these are the types of things that me and my sister will be telling my niece, and I will think, that's what my sisters used to say to me. So it's definitely like a different relationship when there's an age difference there. But it's a good one too. I think for the siblings, and I know people don't say that it's good to have space between siblings that much, but I think when you get into that adolescence and older ages, it really is helpful because the people that are, in, you know, trying to give you the advantage of their experience aren't like 2 years older than you, because it's hard to really take them seriously when they're 2 years older than you and they don't have any distance either. So their advice is tainted by whatever just happened to them, like emotionally. But when they're a little bit older, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, it's like, oh, okay. They've already processed the shit that you're going through. They've gone beyond that already. And so when they're talking to you, they know for real, they know what they're talking about. So it makes the sibling relationship a lot more informative, you know, when you're trying to help them out. That's cool. And you said they all live in San Diego, so all of them are there.
Yep. Well, my dad, him and his family, they're in Marietta. It's like Temecula, Marietta area. It's literally like 40 minutes north of San Diego.
Okay, gotcha. That's not far. Yeah, thing. That's the same thing. Definitely, for sure.
He said Temecula. My tweet's real as fuck.
Hey, oh, that whole story was so funny to me because Temecula is like, part of my life, I grew up there. Like, I would spend summers and, you know, we go stay with our dad, like, for the whole summer. It is literally the most lily white of places you could ever imagine. It is the last place you would ever meet someone for a street fight, right? So when that story happened, I'm just laughing because it's like, could you imagine two dudes showing up in the middle of this town where it's literally just, you know, row houses that all look alike and soccer moms. And it's that kind of town, right? And these two dudes showing up to brawl. Like, it was just hilarious.
Mayweather Pacquiao in Temecula.
Absolutely. I don't know why. Oh, no, that was Rancho Cucamonga I was thinking of. I don't know too much about. I just was thinking about that girl Buckwild from Flavor of Love, and I was like, wasn't she from Temecula? But then I just remember, no, she was from Rancho Cucamonga. So I don't know if they're the same.
I think, did she die?
No, she didn't die. Did she die?
I think she did.
You better look that up. We'll move on to the next thing while you're doing that.
Okay, let me get this going. This is actually, we have a guest who this is very appropriate for.
As you know, we've been chronicling our first family's legendary blackness in this lame duck era of their presidency and, you know, use of the White House. So we had two lame duck blackness situations, his and hers this week.
Obama was speaking at a...
That's President Obama, please.
Oh, forgive me, President Obama. I'll let him do the talking.
In Alabama, this new tax cut they're proposing, I got to laugh because it would average $2 million per person in tax cuts, and it would apply to less than 50 people per year here in Alabama. So 50 people would get an average tax break of $2 million. Not 50,000 people, 50. 50.
he's laughing now.
He said 50. Oh my gosh. Obese is the best. He's too much.
His lame duck blackness has been on fleek.
He is out of control with his blackness, man. He's just like, yep, I had to pretend before, but you know.
I love second term Obama. I hope they do a cookout on the North Lawn.
That'd be the shit.
Y'all remember when Bill and Hillary left the White House? They stole a bunch of shit. They went off.
They took Arkansas everything. Redneck,
taking like the paintings and shit.
They took everything.
It's a fire sale.
It was like while they were doing a transition, they were like, put everything in the truck.
So I'm with Rob. Obama, Black Obama, OBZ, as we like to call him on Lame Duck Blackness.
Lame Duck Blackness, OBZ.
He should be up fucking straight up with like a smoker. You know what I'm talking? Like in the neighborhood where like it's normally like a, I don't know, like a hair salon, but on like Sundays, dude rolls up with a smoker fucking.
They still got that garden out there. They got plenty of space. They could totally make this happen. Awesome.
I'm saying just have just a bunch of black people on the lawns just chilling. Got the, you know, soul music playing. You
Some
know
kids
I mean?
Playing double dutch in the corner. Yes, I'm all about
exactly.
this.
On the East
Let's
Lawn.
Let's make this happen. Black picnic. I love it. Let's make do it. Cookout.
That would be sweet.
That would be really awesome. So, FLOTUS herself, First Lady Michelle Obama, attended BET's Black Girls Rock event this past weekend. However, we also realized it would only be a matter of time before the backlash ensued. Last year, if you recall, these white bitches out here decided to hashtag White Girls Rock during the broadcast of the event. And I think, if I do remember correctly, the First Lady sent a recorded message last year, this year, because, you know, she's black enough for
second
us.
Second term.
Second term First Lady shows up, and she actually was at the event. And she said, I am all for the empowerment of disadvantaged groups. I don't see how alienating. Oh, that's somebody that said that. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm reading the wrong thing. I got to actually read from her speech because it was so good. Of course, during the speech, she said the words, imagine Black Girls Rock.
And, you know, it's like at the Black Girls Rock event.
Yeah.
That kind of seems, you know, logical, appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
She said, in no way alienating.
She says, I know there are voices that are not good enough. She said, acknowledging that she often lacked self-confidence while growing up, despite encouraging parents. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, you are beautiful. I am proud of you. My husband, your president, is so proud of you. We have so much hope and dreams for you, she said. Come on. Really? And then she said, of course, she ended her speech with Black Girls Rock. So now these white women are out here all upset.
Fucking think pieces, man.
What about white girls?
What about the white girls? This is racist.
Read the one. What was the one? The one headline literally said, Michelle Obama has message for girls. But only if you're black.
Yeah.
Like, Lily's like, oh, it's excluding white
Michelle
people.
Obama says Black Girls Rock at BET Awards. No mention if white girls rock or not.
Mm. White people.
Y'all
hey,
nervous.
You know what? I think you're right, Drew. I think it's willful ignorance.
Thank you.
You guys are right. That's just, you understand that black people are a marginalized group. Black women are a subset of that group who are even further marginalized. Like, yo, let them have a fucking night, right?
It's one goddamn night.
You know, the fucking...
They cannot allow any space in which they do not have complete dominion and purview. They cannot even fathom it, allow it, make it possible. It just, they can't even let us fucking breathe in a space like that. We had a friend of mine, my college roommate on the show a couple weeks ago on Ferguson Response, talking about her high school, Oak Park River Forest High School in Chicago. She works there. She's been an administrator and a dean, and she teaches as well. And this year, the students obviously wanted to do something, you know, after Ferguson and the whole Black Lives Matter movement, they really wanted to do something. They had talked about maybe doing a walkout or something. Their principal said, hey, you know what? Rather than walk out, why don't we, at the end of Black History Month, why don't we have a Black student-only assembly?
An affinity group.
We'll have an affinity group meeting. We'll have a panel of students and Black administrators and Black teachers, and we'll just talk about the things that you guys are facing, what you're thinking about, what's been going on in the world. They have the assembly, and the white parents complain. Why were their children excluded from this? This principal needs to apologize. He should be fired. This man is literally under police protection right now. They have to stay outside his house for the threats he's received for allowing some black students an hour and a half to fucking sit down and talk to each other.
Yeah, that's just, that's stupid. It's fucking stupid. Like, there's no reason for it. It's like, okay, here's some shit that's not for you for one day, and that's okay. It's okay. Life will go on.
What was the?
It'll be okay if you're excluded for 1 hour.
Yeah, we're the worst. The Deadline wrote an article about ethnic casting, and it was so rife with this same kind of like just patently false logic that's steeped in supremacy and anti-blackness, and there were. Basically saying, like, you know, there's a quota. They're trying to get more, you know, ethnic casting. There's a black quota. And it's like, you know, like right now the reality is that of all television, like 5% go to people of color. So you're telling me the quota is 5%? That's what you're pissed about? 5%? Like, really? Like, you're mad you don't have 100% white supremacy? And this is the same kind of thing. Like, Black Girls Rock was, you know, okay, whatever you think of it, doesn't matter. It's like white girl 365, 24/7 forever. you're mad that like this one thing it's insanity. It really is. And I'm with you, Rob. When people write shit like that, I can't honestly believe that they're simply ignorant. They're literally racist and supremacist, and they're trying to use controversy and trolling. And so it might even not be, you know, maybe they're not racist. They're just being, you know, let's jump on a bandwagon. If I write some bullshit about Michelle Obama leaving out white people, I'll get 10 million people to like and look and buy ads and whatever, even though I'm being an asshole.
Clickbait kind of thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We actually have a very interesting addition of this next segment on the show. When the sheriff John Brown come for you. Yes, all cops. Yes, Cherry Hill edition.
Cops. Our own fucking town, Black Rob. Yeah, for real. When this one came across our desk, I was like, wait a minute. That's up the fucking road.
That's up the street from our home. Let's listen in and see exactly
what we've got audio.
Down. Oh, yes, we have.
Sweet.
We have some audio here.
About 4:15 now on your Tuesday morning, a Camden County police officer is accused of exposing himself inside Starbucks. Police in Cherry Hill say Benito Gonzalez pulled down his shorts inside that Starbucks earlier this month. Gonzalez is a lieutenant with the Camden County Metro Police Department. He was off duty at the time. We're told that the 17-year veteran of that force has been removed from duty.
The fuck?
Honestly.
He was jerking off in my Starbucks.
That's your actual Starbucks.
That's my fucking Starbucks.
The one you go to?
Yes.
It's
I might have sat at that table. I might have sat at that fucking table. I need a bath. I need to clean.
Oh gosh. Police initially posted a photo of the man who they identified as Gonzalez with his pants down inside the Starbucks on their Facebook page. They later took it off, however, and are now using the picture as evidence. Because they didn't know who he was.
They didn't know he was a cop.
Oh my god.
Let's shame this masturbating fool. Oh wait a minute, he's one of our own. Take it down.
Oh my god.
Hey, I can just imagine that they posted it and they're like, hold up, is that
No. That's Officer Bobby. Oh shit.
That's that motherfucker Benitez. Look at him. Gonzalez, whatever it
is. Yeah. They did that same shit with that dude that beat up somebody
in the subway.
In the subway, yeah. At first it was like, you know, violent thug, and then it was like, off duty officer.
Off duty officer. Wait a second.
Ooh, let's change the story.
Let's pull that back a bit.
But yeah, he was fucking beating his meat in my fucking Starbucks. I just,
sorry, babe. That's sucks.
Hey, he was just patrolling his beat.
That's right.
Patrolling his beat. Or beating his patrol. My nightstick.
Yeah. Well, he's been removed from duty. And
he's still getting paid.
No, he is not being paid.
He's not.
No, they actually pressed charges.
Oh, okay.
He'll be paying a fine and so on.
I'm not saying masturbating publicly shouldn't be punished, but I'm just saying masturbate.
At your Starbucks, I should.
I'm just pointing out, you can kill a black person and say he was reaching for your gun and get a raise, but pull your dick out and you're gone.
Right.
Get out of here.
Exactly.
Priorities, man. Hey, man. people take their coffee real seriously. Okay? Black people, we're not so worried about black people, but coffee,
nah,
you can't fuck with people's coffee.
Nah, son, nah, you can't do that.
Who's the preacher that's always on Rod's show, the Black Guy Who Tips? The preacher who's talking about semen in the coffee and shit.
Oh, Dr. Manning. Talking about semen latte.
Maybe this guy was a Dr. Manning follower.
Oh, shit, he probably was. He's like, I'm just doing my part.
Semen latte. Get these guys.
Making it happen.
Special semen latte.
Lord, I hope that doesn't have to be the title to this episode.
Semen latte?
Semen lattes.
I think I'm writing that one down.
Yeah, semen you do latte. That. So I was going to talk a little bit about media bias, as has been in the news a lot, especially with regard to this plane crash in
mass murderer.
Yes, I shouldn't say plane crash, but mass murderer committed downing of this plane by one of the pilots. And of course, the way the media has been portraying it. Let's listen to what Pat Robertson has to say, because, you know, he's always a bastion.
Towel AIDS, Pat Robertson? Wonderful. You can get AIDS from a towel, Pat Robertson? Yeah. No one needs his info.
Well, let's hear. He might have something good to say this time. You don't know.
Welcome to the 700 Club. It is a mystery that no Fishkin writer would write. What happened to that plane that crashed into the French Alps? Well, they've begun to find out. The pilot went to the laboratory and was soon locked out of the cockpit. He pounded on the door begging to come in, but the door was not opened. The co-pilot then takes the plane, pushes it into a dive, and crashes it. The passengers are screaming as the plane went down. The pilot is yelling. The voice recorder have got it all on tape. What a terrible tragedy. Was that co-pilot a Muslim? Was he suicidal? What was it about him? He had 630 hours flying experience, which isn't a whole lot. He's 28 years old, and all those people are dead, Terry.
Dude.
He starts with, is he a Muslim?
All right, seriously, guys? I mean, really? The fuck, dude? The fuck?
I mean, what was it about him? Rob, what was it about him?
What do you mean, in terms of why did he do it?
Or? That's what he's asking. I mean, Pat wants to know. What was it about him? Was he a Muslim?
Because he was a Muslim. Duh.
I mean, really? Really?
No, it's fucking ridiculous.
People play that, man. He has a TV channel.
Mm-hmm. The French prosecutor, Bryce Robin, on Thursday described him as a 30-year-old German who is, quote, not listed as a terrorist. And he told reporters that he did not know Lubitz's religion or ethnicity, but said, quote, I don't think that's where the answer to this lies, end quote. Do nope. you now? Really? Okay. Good to know.
You know, all the pictures they'd be showing of him is him jogging at some charity event.
I didn't know
Everyone talks about him having, oh, is it undiagnosed mental, this or that. A 10-year-old child, a black child, was shot and killed, and they blurred his hands to make him look like he was even throwing up a gang sign or like flipping the bird. That's a victim of crime, the way our media treats him. This is a mass murderer, and it's like, oh, what kind of mental illness did he have? And, you know, this about that. Nah, I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, so much sympathy for a dude who killed 150 people versus, no, like, this guy is a terrible person for what he did. Let's talk about the 150 people who died at his hands, and, you know, or even, you know, the things that went wrong that allowed this to happen and all that. It's no less, oh, this poor guy, this poor, you know. Yeah. I forget which podcast I was, you know, in the live chat for, but they put on the Spreecast, they put up a picture of him. It might have been Rod and Karen. They put up a picture of him, and it looked like a fucking eHarmony photo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was sitting all innocently, you know, smiling with, you know, a beautiful backdrop. And it's like, this dude killed 150 people. Yeah. Like,
what the fuck is going on here?
I don't get it.
Meanwhile, when the gentleman was found in the woods in Mississippi hanged, CNN put up his mugshot. Like, that's what they decided to put on their lead story, was his mugshot. What we know about him. What the fuck? So that leads to me losing my shit
Well, I was looking up real quick before you go that the I was trying to get the name of the newspaper. The Iowa Gazette ran two articles about criminals breaking in, burglaries. Same crime, same publication, same paper, same author, same journalist that's writing and doing the publication. And three white individuals convicted or being, you know, tried of this robbery, they miraculously found school photos, graduation yearbook photos.
But no, it was with their blazers on or something.
Oh, yeah, with ties and blazers, found school photos. The three black individuals, mugshots. They had mugshots of the white kids, too, you know. They got arrested. But the newspaper chose. This is what I mean. It's not like a, ooh, I didn't know, oops. They fucking went and found goddamn, like, graduation, smiling, beautiful little white boy photos of these poor kids that happened to do a robbery. And for the black people, they got mugshots. Fuck you, Iowa Gazette.
Yeah. The terrifying Negro will always, well, back in the day when papers were still a thing, but, you know, the terrifying Negro always sells papers, right? So you put a story about, oh, you know, this black person was so terrifying. Even now with, you know, news, you know, local news, stories about, oh, the, you know, a band of ravishing Negroes, right? That always gets people to tune in and, you know, clutch their pearls and say, oh my God, right? Whether, you know, it's warranted or not. And it just sucks because the same treatment is not given to white criminals when, you know, a story of them is presented. And you say, they miraculously, they had to go out of their way to find that, whether it was yearbook photos or wherever they got the photos from. You had to go out of your way to get those photos, right?
Absolutely.
Versus, you know, getting the mugshot and using that. So it's a choice, you know?
And they even
how
made
you
some
want to present the individuals in the story.
They made some bullshit excuse that the mugshots aren't readily available. You have to do some sort of freedom of information to get them. Like, well, you did that for the black dudes? You know, that was your fucking excuse? It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. So, as I said, this leads into me losing my shit the other day. I blame you, Drew.
You should.
I really do blame you because I really try not to really get involved with discussions about race relations and racial injustice with white people because I don't have the patience for it and I do not have the constitution to put up with the bullshit. And so this idiot woman, what was she even trying to, what was her point in the first place?
The crux of her argument was that.
And is
that in white people or other people talking to, so it goes back to what we were talking about on this podcast. Are people ignorant? Are they willful? Are they just, you know, deliberate? So she's of the opinion that there are many, 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 many simply ignorant and uninformed white people.
Right.
And she's of the opinion that in order for true lasting change to happen, we have to change the hearts and minds of great numbers of white people. So those are two fundamental axioms of her argument that I kind of disagree with, but that's where she's coming from.
We are going to be sitting around here waiting for freedom due to white people's moral compass.
Oof.
Well, it hasn't kicked in 400 years. So what the fuck is going to happen now, Amy?
Yeah. So she was basically saying that because white people are, you know, uninformed and this and that, if they come into this space and they really want to help and they get attacked, that's the word they always use, attacked for, you know, checking their privilege or this or that. And I even said to her, there's a valid discussion I will happily have with you around privilege checking culture with white people, because there are people that do it for the wrong reasons, to look good, to say, I'm not that kind of white person. You know, there's ways to go about it. But her entire argument was that we were being divisive and pushing people away, and that, you know, you got to be gentle. You got to use kid gloves with the white people that come into this movement, or you're going to push them against us, and even worse, maybe turn them against us. And I'm thinking, like, if my commentary, which was no way attacking, not only dissuades you from quote unquote being an ally, but turns you into like an opponent, you are just a wolf in sheep's clothing. Get the fuck out of here. There's no way you're ever gonna do anything for anybody anyway.
Now, I don't get, like I said, I really do not get involved with these people because that's your business.
That's my lane.
You handle your people and I don't really get involved.
Black Rob, there's a bat signal that a bunch of black people have that's literally like a Batman signal, and instead of Batman, it says, come gather your white people. And it's got me and like 10 other white people tagged in the photo.
Yeah, so they just throw it up.
They can throw it up, and it's like, come gather your white people.
Get this one too.
Get this fucking white people. Come on.
So, but then she tweeted this tweet out. She says, you don't need to call your kids stupid to make sure they correct their homework, even if you want it corrected. So to be clear, she's equating the death of untold numbers of black people and systemic racism and the proliferation of white supremacy with incorrect homework.
Yeah, that's fucking stupid. And for the record, I'll tell my son that the work he did on his homework was stupid. If it's stupid, it's stupid, right? He's seven. It's like, hey, I don't know what to tell you, son, but that answer is stupid. You're better than that. But no, I'm kidding. But the point is, though, we're not talking about kids. We're talking about adults. So the assumption is that you're coming into the conversation with a basic level of intelligence, knowledge, and understanding, right? So if you come in asking stupid questions, you might get called out for being stupid.
Precisely. So I had to respond to that because it was so stupid, as you said, Rob. And I simply said, three tweets, but if your kid was stabbing classmates in the eye with a screwdriver, would you just talk to him? Because that's what she's trying to say. And I said, because your analogy of white supremacy equals not doing homework is pretty offensive and privileged one. If your kid could be killed solely because of race, would you speak politely to those responsible? And then finally, I just put up a meme and it says, you still there, Rob?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Phone's no down worries. To 20%. I heard it.
It says, you've had 450 years of talking. It's time to shut up. And that was it. That was my intention was for that to be all that I was going to say to this bitch. But, you know, like most idiot white people, she
doubled down.
She had to come back.
And, you know, Black Rob, the start of this was her basically like, accusing DeRay, like DeRay McKesson, right, of making...
No, that was a whole different person.
Oh, that wasn't
just to be clear.
Okay.
That's two dumb white people.
I've had that many white people implode this week?
Yes.
Oh.
This is the second one of them. The other one right. I already
you're right.
ran
You're
in.
Right. This one, she just came at me because she said I was being divisive. You're right.
This is a completely different individual. And so I lost my shit a little bit, and I was just, you know, telling her that, you know, stop asking black people to do anything to fix racism. We didn't create it. So on and so forth. And then she claims, obviously we want the same things, which are equality for all. And I said, no, I want black freedom and liberation. You want to stay as comfortable as you are right now. Get the fuck out of here. And then I really lost it. Because she said, is that how you wish your supporters would collaborate with you? Shut the hell up. Mm-hmm.
She was basically...
Really?
She said that this type of discussion is divisive. And at the end, she said repeatedly, like, thank you for proving my point so eloquently more than I ever could.
Yeah.
Your exchange here has proven my point. You've proven my point.
And then she called me out for my use of foul language. I haven't used foul language once in this discussion. I'm sorry you felt it needed to go there. And then I really lost it. And my next couple of tweets said, fuck, 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 fuck. This is my space. I can say whatever the fuck I want. Tweet number two. You seem to think I give a shit what you think. This is what all of your white people need to get. We have stopped giving a shit what you think about anything. And that is why you want to tone police. You're concerned about me saying fuck? Be concerned that Megan Holiday was killed today. You're concerned about the word fuck, be concerned about the black people killed every 28 hours. You're concerned about fuck, be concerned about museums that erase the contributions of black people. You're concerned about fuck, be concerned about black children graduating from unaccredited schools. You're concerned about fuck, be concerned about food deserts where poor people can't get fresh food. You're concerned about fuck, be concerned about an education system that's failing our children. You're concerned about fuck, be concerned about a prison system that uses black bodies like commodities. Fuck you. Thank you. I'm done.
That's outstanding. Drop the mic. Walk off.
She's the worst.
She went all day. She went like 8 hours.
I was just like, I just couldn't.
Dozens and dozens of people. Just, you know.
And that was the thing that pissed me off the most is like she's trying to come at me as if that numerous white people hadn't spent hours trying to tell her the same thing that I had to tell her. Like, you're a hard-headed bitch, and you're trying to make this like, oh, my God, all I was trying to do was do... Bitch, please.
You know the real
issue? Then she had the nerve to send my husband a private DM of a letter, a picture of a letter that she wrote.
Yeah.
Today.
Listen, here's the issue. for white people in particular, it's inherent to do work on yourself when you want to be in this space. And you got to know that we're going to fuck up constantly. That's our lot in doing this work. And I've had to come to certain realizations, you know, the last 6-8 months, I've made mistakes my own damn self, you know, like literally. And where she's missing it is that her entire life, the system and society has told her, you are important. You know what you're doing. You're smart. And if you think it should be done a certain way, then that's the right way for things to be done. And so she's coming at this with like, well, I know what's right. And I'm not, you know, her DM, I'm not going to like put her on blast. Like, you know, that was a DM. I'll keep that private.
But fuck that girl.
But included like, you know, like a lot of the same shit white people do, like, well, one of my friends is black, but not quite like that, but like her version of that or her equivalent of that. Like, I've been an activist for 20 years and I've seen this and I've seen that. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't make you right. You know, that doesn't make you right now.
Exactly.
And it doesn't, you know, and like when you're supposed to be helping black lives, black people get to tell you, you know, what it is they do and don't want. And every single black person in that conversation was like, listen, what you're doing is inherently privilege based. You're tone police. You're dictating the terms under which liberation can occur. You know, just it was basically like, you know, if you don't coddle white people, they're not going to get it. You have to coddle white people, and you have to change hearts and minds. And I'm just done with that shit. I'm not here to make you comfortable in a goddamn uncomfortable conversation when people are dying. No fucking way. And then if you're comfort,
not just that, like, you're the problem.
Yeah.
You don't get to come to the table and say, oh, this is how you need to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
You're the fucking problem here. So just stop. Because it's just not fucking going to fly any longer. So just fucking stop. So
I hate when in those exchanges people flip it and try to play the victim. You know what I mean? She very quickly sounds like tried to turn herself into the victim.
They love being the victim. They gotta be the victim.
Yeah.
And
that's just lame. You know what I mean? It's like she didn't come into the conversation trying to learn something or grow from it. She came in to, you know, put her two cents in, say how it should be, and anyone who disagreed with her, well, then now they're being, you know, divisive or whatever like that. I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, like you were saying, Drew, like, people got to learn to check their privilege, man. Like, whenever I see discussions about, like, women issues, right, I shut the fuck up and just listen, right?
Yeah.
Just listen. It's like, it's not my lane to step in and say, well, actually, ladies, the way it actually should be is like this. No. Like, I'm a dude. I exist in the world with a certain amount of male privilege. I'm a 6'2", 215-pound black dude, right? I don't have to worry about street harassment when I'm walking down the street. No one's going to fuck with me, right? But for a woman walking, you know, just minding her fucking business, that's an actual thing. So rather than saying, no, you're not getting street harassed, what are you talking about? When those conversations go on, I shut the fuck up and listen and learn, right? And it's a similar thing with, like, these racial discussions. It's like, you could either be like, I am white woman, hear me roar. This is, I know what I'm talking about. Or you can shut the fuck up and try to learn something from somebody. You know what I mean?
For
like,
real.
And it doesn't sound like she was looking to do that. She was looking to, you know,
she wanted to be right.
She
was right. And I've been in situations like that, Rob, where I actually was right and a bunch of people thought I was wrong. And once enough people say, like, hey, maybe you're wrong, I acquiesce. I'm like, okay, I'll take that under advisement. I'll go reflect on that, and I'll look into that. I don't go like, fuck you, I'm right, like, forever. Like, you know, even
exactly.
I knew I was right. I was definitely right. But like, four people are like, hey, you might not be right. Like, you know what? Okay, let me check. You know, I'm humble enough to be like, I'm not always right. I'm plenty wrong.
There's nothing wrong with taking a step back and reevaluating. You know what I mean? Doesn't hurt anything. Doesn't cost anything.
Word.
For real. Let's talk about some fucking fun shit.
Yeah, some TV stuff. So, did you watch The Walking Dead, Rob?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh my gosh. What did you think of the finale? Yeah. Did you like it? Did you not like it? What were your thoughts?
I'm kind of not torn, but it's like, I like it. I really enjoy this show. Like, the actual watching of the episodes is fun. It's just a fun show, right?
Yes.
So I love the finale because it was fun. It was, it kept you hanging. Like, you're like, holy shit, Glenn's about to die. Holy shit, Daryl. Like, every turn you're like, somebody's about to die or you're, and all that. I didn't like the fact that, a lot of the characters over the last few episodes have been doing shit that, doesn't make a lot of sense.
And
I mean, you guys go to like,
and out of character, know, too. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like Maggie overheard bitch ass Gabe, you know, telling that shit to Deanna, right? But he hasn't She hasn't told anyone about
which
anyone,
just doesn't make any sense. They tell each other every motherfucking thing. It's like rule number one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and they're so tight. But
and even the way they reacted to Noah's death, like, they didn't, like, hold that dude accountable. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. As soon as that shit happened and Glenn came back and said, nah, man, Noah died because that guy did this. Mm-hmm. No fucking way would they, would any of them, Michonne included, just be like, okay, we'll just let him be. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Noah.
So, you know, maybe it'll be different with the season premiere. Maybe we'll get more answers and stuff, but that aspect of, you know, the whole ever since they got to Alexandria has kind of been like, you know, whatever.
But I
love the show though.
I've been thinking that they may have been playing, and I don't know, I don't watch the Talking Dead that much, but, and I would love to hear what the writers say about this and how it plays on the comic books, but there almost seems to be a level of PTSD that they're all exhibiting in Alexandria. Like, they've been under this, you know, horrible situation, and they've had this series of just, like, you know, really, if you think about it, since the governor showed up at the prison, it's been pretty shitty from then all the way till now. And it's been a lot of bad shit that's gone down during that time as well. And to me, they're almost as like they're acting counter their normal tendencies, maybe due to this PTSD. Certainly your personality is affected. Your decision making is changed. And you also are seeing things in a very different way when you have PTSD. So put me in mind of maybe they're like in this pseudo recovery period and they aren't functioning very well because of it. And I can also imagine that the heightened level of like being so fearful for your life on a regular basis. I think that there are studies that show that in certain, you know, inner city neighborhoods that are dangerous, that the children that live there use up to 8% of their brain power just being aware of their surroundings because something could pop off and they have to be concerned about that. And they often compare it to PTSD that soldiers come back from war with. And so it put me in mind of that. And maybe that's why they've been acting so strangely. It was its highest rated season yet.
Wow.
Monster numbers. They average an 8.2 rating in adults 18 to 49 with 15.8 million viewers overall, up about 3% in both categories versus its year ago finale. And it's also up week by week by 17% in the demo and 14% in total viewers. It's a fucking behemoth.
I feel like, I don't know if Rob said it this exact way, but I think you're feeling the same way I did. I love the show. I think the production's good, the writing's good, the acting's good. But I'm used to being a little bit more, I don't know what, je ne sais quoi, a little bit more closure maybe, of some sort, and a little bit more like peril cliffhanger. It was a different kind of finale than I'm used to. Didn't mean it was bad.
Yeah.
It was
a different kind of season too.
Yeah.
I thought.
The maybe
tone
a slow
of
burn.
It was different. It was a little bit different. There were some seasons of Breaking Bad that were like that. I don't know if you watched Breaking Bad or not, but there were a few seasons where you could see it was like, oh, they decided to take a little bit slower, you know, tack on things. And so it looked different for that season. But I thought it was overall, it was a good season. I thought we got to see some really, you know, good development and interesting moments for people. We haven't seen them in certain positions. Daryl's one I think of, just his relationship with whoever the guy that he's been going out with, like you haven't seen him in a relationship like that with somebody. There's always been a level of hierarchy between the other people he interacts with. Carol, I mean, the fuck, that bitch was spitting.
Hey, she's awesome.
She was spitting bars.
I can't remember the actress's name, but she's acting her ass off. This
yeah,
season.
She's awesome.
It's been so good.
I watched The Talking Dead after this episode, and she was on it, and she was like so like, you know, happy to get to be so badass. She was like, Carol's awesome. Like, just all about her character. And it was good to see and really cool. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the new season. I think that they've been doing just a great job. And it's, it happened to start while we were living abroad. We were in Argentina for 2 years. And so we didn't watch when it first came out. So when we got back, everybody was like, oh my God, The Talking Dead, Talking Dead, Talking Dead. I mean, Walking Dead. And we were like, what the fuck is this Walking Dead? Because we didn't get it in Argentina. And so I had to real quick catch up real fast and binge watch the first couple seasons. So we got to it. The other thing that came on this week was the HBO documentary Going Clear.
Do you get HBO, Rob? Do you see that?
I have not seen it yet, though.
Man.
But That's all right. You don't have to, we can talk about it. I mean, you guys talk about it. I'm curious to see what it's about.
Listen.
I had it as one of the things, you know, kind of on my radar that I wanted to check out.
Definitely check it out, first of all.
Baby, listen.
Very well done.
Baby, listen.
Now, Drew has a little bit of an obsession with Scientology, like, generally speaking. We've, like, read books about it. We watched all of the, like, previous, like, news stories and documentaries about it.
Because they're a fucking cult.
And they're crazy.
And they run like a cult, and it is a cult, and it's in the United States. And everyone knows it's a cult, and it's a fucking cult. And so I've always been like, dude, it's a fucking cult. Like, this is crazy. Like, it's a cult. I can't believe that people think it's a cult. And I would say I, as the average non-indoctrinated cult member goes, I was pretty well informed. I would say I'd be like, you know, on a 1 out of 10, like, how much do I know about Scientology? I'd say like about a good like 7 or 8. I was pretty well informed. This show, and it didn't have anything. It had maybe 1 or 2 revelations that I didn't know, that didn't surprise me, but I didn't know. But then the things that I did know were so much crueler than I actually anticipated.
Oh my gosh.
Like, there was a place that it was basically a prison. They called it The Hole. Literally a prison, right? It's like 2 double-wide trailers. This motherfucker was the president, okay? Like, the de facto president of this church. How many years did he spend in there? 7 years? 7 fucking years?
No, it was the assistant. He wasn't the president. And Maskevich was just going in there and beating up everybody.
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't the, no, he had a different title, but it was something like that.
He was high up in there. Yeah. He was like the second in command of the whole church.
Spent 7 years.
Years in this thing.
7 fucking years. They had these, there's been multiple people that have come out and talked against it and said all this stuff. And every time they do, they get slapped with libel and lawsuits and like people start following around and fucking weird shit starts happening. So 4 prominent people have left the church, and it was a huge thing. Anderson Cooper had all 4 of their
ex-wives
on the show, all saying, this is nonsense, this is crazy, this is not, I've been with him every minute of the day, this isn't true, blah, 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 blah. Fucking like 2 or 3 or all 4 of them, Leslie. Did all 4 of those girls go back to the home?
Yeah, all 4 of them.
They were on Anderson Cooper one night and like scrubbing toilets with a toothbrush in prison the next night. Literally.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is crazy.
They were that willing to like defend the church, the cult.
It was just crazy, just, you know, that they had like put together a blackmail folder on John Travolta when he tried to leave the church, because they tape all of these like audits they do where they ask all these deep secrets for you to tell them. Tom Cruise had the church wiretap Nicole Kidman's phone after their divorce and helped get him full custody of their 2 children. Tom Cruise may have employees pimp his cars out for 40 cents an hour. They basically do anything they want for him. They also found him a new girlfriend. And then when he didn't want to have her as a girlfriend anymore, they bum rushed into her home and took every piece of paper and photo that had the 2 of them in it and burned them.
Jeez.
They have worldwide assets of property in the billions.
Yeah.
Multiple, might even be tens of billions.
Yeah.
They have 20 different subsidiary companies that fall under the Church of Scientology umbrella. 3 of those 20 companies have a market cap of over $1.8 billion. Just 3 of them,
and they're tax exempt.
And that's not, I shouldn't, that's the wrong word. It's not a market capitalization.
Yeah,
they have a cash value. They have an equity cash value. 3 of these 20 bitches got almost $2 billion.
It's crazy.
It's
nuts. It's,
they're
nuts.
A juggernaut, though.
Yeah. Definitely, if you can catch it, definitely do. Cause it,
I'm definitely going to check it out. And so they just operate like...
They pretend they're a church.
Consequences?
Yeah.
Just call themselves a church?
Because the people put themselves through it. They agreed
willingly,
to it.
Yeah.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, the people put themselves through it. They're not forcing anybody. They willingly put themselves and their families through this.
They have a division called Sea Org, which was on a boat. And the boat had such like... horrible human rights violations with individuals on the boat that it wasn't allowed to dock in like any countries around
the
world.
It was going around, like, and couldn't.
Yeah,
it's
a ship at sea without a dock, because like, hey, you can't fucking put a dock up here when you got a boat full of fucking captured prisoners. But the first group of people, this one girl that went on it and was on it for years, was talking about her elation and how excited she was to go do this for L. Ron Hubbard, and they all called him LRH. LRH, LRH. She signed a billion-year contract. A billion-year contract.
A billion years.
Yeah. Just, she was like, oh, sure, no problem. 1 billion years. The one really big guy, what was the – he's a producer and a director.
Paul Haggis.
Haggis. When he left, and there's all these different things that are like, you know, you get to pay money. He was in this thing for 30 years, and he's like, you know, all the self-help and the, you know, personal, you know, responsibility and, you know, taking – there's some philosophical things that were good for me in my life and resonated with me. Then I got to OT level 3. And they start talking about, like, when I say weird shit, like, you couldn't get weirder. Like, yeah. Like literally, like...
Like, there's aliens and they got dropped in volcanoes and different things are living inside you. I mean, honestly, you're going to be so shocked when you listen to it. So, everybody, please go and watch that because it's just some crazy-ass shit.
The fuck? All right, seriously, guys? I mean, really? The fuck, dude? The fuck?
Just all the fucks I had to give
all of them. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks so much again for coming on the show, Black Rob. It's awesome to have you. You have to come back again very soon.
Hey, anytime, you guys. I had a blast. You know, anytime, just let me know. We'll make the schedule work, and I'm down.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll definitely see you in the chat rooms.
Of course.
Like I said, I'm a homebody. So, you know, if I get the email that, you know, one of my favorite shows is going live in Shreecast chat, I'll hop in there and if I'm able to and crack some jokes, you know.
For sure. Tonight, actually, we're starting the Daria live tweet, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. That's right. So that's with the single simulcast on Roshani. That's going to be every Wednesday. We're doing two episodes Wednesday nights. You can stream them. They're on Hulu Plus and Amazon Prime right now. So we're starting tonight with episode 1 and 2. And every Wednesday evening, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. We also have Heck Philly coming up next week. We're going to dive deep into the Philadelphia Department of Justice report and kind of what the repercussions are looking like here locally. And on the 23rd of April, we have Chris from Insanity Check and Movie Trailer Review is going to be on the show. So lots of cool stuff coming up on the John. Again, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N, or at interracialjohn.com. You can find me on Twitter at Leslie Mack MAC, and you can find him at Very White Guy, and you can find Black Rob at Black Rob 2Qs 1B, and we will see you soon.
Bye, everybody.
High five.